Thank you, One Voice. Before we take up the Lord's Word this morning, we want to take a bit of time to specially pray. And each time when we pray, it's so important for us to recognize that it does make a difference. Whether we pray for Pastor as he ministers over in Perth and as he returns this evening, or whether we pray for brethren elsewhere in the world. We think of people over in France, in Paris, where there are families who are hurting because family members have died. You know, when we pray, it's so important for us to pray with faith. And it's important to recognize that it does make a difference when we pray for each other. So at this time, let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this wonderful privilege of being able to pray, to come to you in your very presence, and to ask for help, for grace, for mercy in time of need. This morning we especially pray for Pastor, even as he continues to struggle with his sickness. We pray that you will grant him your grace and strength, even as he ministers to our brethren over in Perth, that you will keep him and watch over him. Grant him journey mercies as he returns back this evening. We also pray for people over in Paris, where there are families who are hurting, where loved ones have been lost, the lot of uncertainty because of the evil that has been done. We pray for them that somehow you will be their source of comfort and encouragement. We pray, Lord, that through these moments where we recognize how this world is just so filled with trouble and evil, help us, Lord, to look to you, to look beyond this world, to look beyond ourselves, and to find that special sense of solace in you. We pray that you will continue to bless our hearts, even as we study your words. We recognize how times we will struggle with unbelief. We pray, Lord, that you will give us, through your word, faith to truly believe. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we are going to deal with a challenging topic, and that is the question of unbelief. I think this is something that all of us struggle with. Unbelief pervades many concerning their faith, concerning their walk with the Lord. And it's so important for us to learn what it means to exercise faith, to cultivate this faith that we may be able to overcome unbelief. Today we're going to look at a priest. His name is Zacharias, and how he struggled with unbelief. And it's something that we all have to recognize for ourselves too. Unbelief is indeed a struggle, and we want to learn how we can overcome it. Now, first of all, let's try and consider, what are some causes of unbelief? Why is it that we always end up with unbelief? Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. And there's a passage that reveals for us causes concerning why we end up with unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion." You know, when we hear the word of God, do we respond with unbelief? Do we harden our hearts? The word harden here is where you get the word sclerosis. You know, sometimes when you have the hardening of the heart and it affects the way the heart would work, sometimes it will affect the arteries. There's a hardening of the arteries. And that's something that became even more real when my own wife had a heart attack. It could be one reason or another. And When you have sclerosis, it affects the heart. When you hear the word of God, sometimes we allow the hardening of the heart spiritually to affect the way we hear the word of God. And that can cause unbelief. You know, the word hardening, it is written in what we call the Greek present tense. And it's something that is continuous. And what the author of Hebrews is trying to say here is, do not keep on hardening your heart. And that's something that maybe describes some of us. That each time when we hear the word of God, our hearts are hardened and continue to be hardened. We don't respond. The problem with sclerosis and the problem with hardening is that you don't feel anymore. It doesn't respond. The heart does not respond as it should. Well, let's go on. He goes on to say in verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Another cause of unbelief is a rebellious spirit. A rebellious spirit that would prevent us from following the Lord's word. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. See, we can test the Lord. We can be defiant against the Lord. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. Another cause of unbelief. We have a heart that strays from God. And they have not known my ways. Another cause, where we do not know God's ways as we should. And we do not recognize God's ways, we end up with unbelief. We cannot believe this is the word of God as what we should follow. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Wait a moment. What is this? An evil heart? The answer is yes. One of the causes of unbelief is that our heart is evil. You know, when somebody murders another person for whatever reason, then we recognize that that is an evil work. But here the author of Hebrews describes this heart that causes unbelief. And it is a heart that is evil. Evil is evil. There is no better evil or worse off evil. Evil is evil. And the author of Hebrews basically gets straight to the point. Unbelief is caused by an evil heart. And maybe our hearts are evil. An evil heart that causes us to not believe. When we depart from God, it is another cause for unbelief. You know, I remember a time when I was really far from God. And it was when I was studying overseas. You know, every time when I hear of one of the young people going overseas, I always give them a word of caution. It's so easy to stray when you're away. Here in Bethany, you're sheltered, you're looked after, your parents are here. You know, there are people to look out for you. But when you are overseas, when you're on your own, and I remember more than 30 years ago when I was studying in Perth, there was no email, there was no website, there was nothing. All I had was snail mail. And once a week, the bulletin would slowly flow over the seas, over the skies, to come to me, and I looked so much for it. You know, but yet at the same time, what would you sustain on? What would your faith be sustained on? And I went to a church that did not feed me beyond a certain level. And after a while, I began to stray. I began to depart from God. And you know, unbelief began to take over. And it came to a point when I almost gave up on my faith. I really stood there and I really felt like giving up. You know, forget about it. This is just too hard. You know, and I just thank God. Somehow, somewhere, you know, when and especially when I came back here, I found that renewal again. And I promised to myself that I never allow myself to get to that point again when unbelief just took over. And, you know, I questioned so much concerning my own faith and I almost gave up on my faith. And that's what unbelief can do to a person. And yet at the same time, it's a reality that is not far from us. The root of the problem is really the heart. A heart that strays, a heart that departs, a heart that is truly evil. Even as we consider this, so crucial for us to understand what are these causes of unbelief. Now let's look at Zacharias for a while. Now let's look at his context. What is the context of the unbelief of Zacharias, especially concerning his word? Let's turn to Luke 1. And there's a verse for us to look at to begin with. And that is verse 20. And the angel said to Zacharias, "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So that's something for us to consider. He did not believe. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Where there is no faith, no faith whatsoever in the words that were given. You know, this was meant to be the most significant moment in Zechariah's life, in his walk with the Lord. He has been a faithful priest. And this was his time. This was his lot, to be able to come and offer incense. And an angel appeared before Zacharias. It was such a significant moment. Yet, he could not believe. He struggled. Somehow, there was no belief in the content. Let's look at this. What was it that the angel said to Zacharias? Let's look at verse 13. And he says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard.'" And of course, as you read along, it concerns a child. Now, the question is, when did Zacharias make this prayer? I mean, he wouldn't have responded with unbelief if he had made this prayer about the time when this happened. So this prayer would have been a very much earlier prayer, a prayer when he made a long time ago, a prayer when he was much younger, when he still believed that his wife, Elizabeth, would be able to conceive and bear a son. And that would have been a long time ago because they were much, much older now. And yet, did God forget that prayer? And the answer is no. Sometimes when you make a prayer, can we really believe that God will answer that prayer? Can God still answer a prayer that was made a long time ago, many years ago? And the answer is yes. It's really fascinating to see how God, in his own timing, finally decides now is the time to answer this prayer of Zacharias. Yes, it is a long time to wait. Yes, it is many, many years later. But God answered that prayer and decided to give to Zacharias a baby. Who is this baby? And you know what? This baby is going to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at this, verse 14. Right? Verse 13. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I mean, this was a wonderful revelation concerning a baby, concerning your son. He was going to be the forerunner, the one that will prepare the way of the Lord. What a significant moment that was for Zacharias. What a glorious revelation. What a glorious prophecy. And yet, Zacharias was not able to understand this. What was his response? His response was one of unbelief. The most significant moment in your life, and you cannot rejoice? Unbelief spoiled that moment for Zacharias. It just made it, you know, it just spoiled the moment. It was like a party pooper. This was the angel Gabriel coming before Zacharias, and he was meant to celebrate. I mean, he should have been the happiest father in the world. Well, next to Joseph. But, you know what? Of course, Joseph also struggled. But that's another story. But unbelief. And you know, for many of us, unbelief can spoil that moment for us. Christmas is a time to truly celebrate. But sometimes we can allow unbelief to spoil the celebration. So important for us to understand what it means to have faith. Look at his response. Verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The word "how" in the Greek is the word "kata." What that means is, according to what? According to what shall I know this? Yes, it was a very difficult thing to understand. How shall I know this? But somehow Zacharias could not understand. He had a very limited regard for the Word of God. It was limited. There was no real basis for him to understand. There is the Word of God, and he should have understood. Now let's look at the earlier part of the chapter to catch a little glimpse of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Now, Abijah is a descendant of Aaron. Okay, so he was from the priestly line of Aaron. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Wow, that is a good description concerning Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they had regard, or at least some regard, for the Word of God. They followed the commandments. But yet, when he came to the angel Gabriel, he brought the Word of God to him, and yet he could not believe. There was unbelief. The reality is that he was far more focused on the physical limitation of his body rather than to see the spiritual word that is meant for him, for all. And sometimes we allow ourselves to not believe because of our physical limitations. You know, as pastors, when people ask for prayer requests, ask us to pray, you know, we get all kinds of prayer requests. It could be for studies. It could be for a job. This week, you know, somebody has been asking me, or for the last couple of weeks, to pray for him, even as he looks for a job. And he went through 3 interviews, and he looked so promising. But at the last minute, they decided that they will put things on hold. And I recognize that it can be very disappointing. Even as, you know, when things look so promising, and unbelief can come and cause us to be disappointed and downtrodden. And it's these moments that we must learn to have faith, to continue to wait upon the Lord. You know, I get prayer requests for a life partner, for a child, and so on and so forth. And I recognize that they're not easy prayers to make, because these prayers will not be answered just like that. And there are times when I struggle with prayer too. Can we pray? Can we believe? And it's hard. And sometimes we are tempted to doubt, to have unbelief. But when God, in His grace, blows our minds, when He answers our prayers, to me, it is always so amazing. When God answers that prayer, our faith must be so much more lifted up. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That was what God said to Sarah and Abraham. How should we understand? Is the impossible impossible for God? And the answer is no. God can do the impossible. Can we learn to believe? Now, what if we really allow unbelief to truly affect us? Well, let's look at what happened to Zacharias. There are serious consequences that we want to be aware of. For Zacharias, it was the angel disciplining him. Okay? Look at verse 20. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. Consequences. When we allow unbelief to get the better of us, when we allow unbelief to overwhelm us, there are serious consequences. Now, maybe this is not something that will happen to us today, but there are serious consequences because of unbelief. Maybe we will not be able to enter into the spiritual rest, into heaven, because of unbelief. Maybe when we have unbelief, we will not grow as we should, where spiritual immaturity will continue to affect us. No, there are serious consequences that we want to be aware of. There are dangers that we should be concerned about. But now let's ask ourselves, how can we counter this problem of unbelief? Now let's look at the words of the angel. Verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. How do we deal with unbelief? We must have the highest regard for the word of God. The words of the angel, he comes from the very presence of God. And these words with the words, the very words of God. He had been sent by God to speak to Zacharias. And it's so important for us to have the highest regard for his word. Each and every day, are we giving regard for the word of God? I mean, if we do not take time to read the word of God, and you ask yourself, how come I don't have that faith? Well, therein lies the problem. When we do not give that kind of regard for the word of God, can we live each day, any day, without the word of God? If we really want to have faith, my answer is no. Because unbelief will get the better of us. Pastor Mitch was talking about how he is reading a chapter a day. Well, that's great for him. My way of reading the Lord's word is through coloring. You know, I like to color the Bible. I just got a new Bible a couple months back, and I've been coloring it. You know, wherever I turn now, it's colored. Well, more or less. I actually turn only to those that are colored. Do you know the most read book nowadays, whether you go to Amazon and all, is actually coloring books. And this coloring books is not meant for children. They are meant for adults. And I don't know whether you will buy it for a Christmas present or anything like that, but a lot of people are looking to color for therapy. You know, as you color as a child would, maybe you will find, you know, relaxation. Well, I mean, I don't begrudge you for that. Maybe painting, you like art, you like to color. It, you know, calms you down, makes you be still. Great. But let me tell you, the best coloring book is the Bible. If you want to color and find faith, encouragement, color the Bible. You got so many pages to color. 1,000 over pages. So many words. Color. You know, one of the bands, you know, Bangkok came up to me. He saw my Bible, my previous Bible, all full of colors. He said, Pastor Mark, do you have a system of coloring your Bible? And I say, yes. My system is, I just color. Whatever pen I can find, blue, red, orange, pink, purple, I just color. It's all over the place. But you know, I find so much joy in coloring the Bible. Do you give that kind of regard for the Word of God each day, that you may be able to have faith? Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we take time to hear the Word of God and to allow the Word of God to generate that faith in us? You cannot just pluck faith out of nowhere. It's not possible. There's one thing that God cannot do for you, is to just have faith by plucking faith out of nowhere. Faith is generated by the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, can you believe? As you pray, can you believe? Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I'm a firm believer of this verse, because when we pray, we can believe that God can do great and mighty things. Early this year, I made a commitment to pray for different people. But there were three guys that I was praying for. This three person were not Christians. And my heart went out to them. And I remember kneeling on my floor, kneeling on the floor in my office. And I prayed especially for these three persons. And I prayed, God, would you open their eyes to you? Would you reveal yourself to them? You know, of course, I did my part to reach out to them. And recently, I found out that one of them came to know the Lord. It is through the ministry of others Some would plant, some would water. But ultimately, it is God that gives the increase. Many people prayed. And I thank God that this person has come to know the Lord. And as I reflected over the year, you know, God answered maybe 1.5 of my prayers. What about the other half? Well, the second person has opened his heart to reading his word, to consider God a little bit more. Yeah, there's a little bit more struggle, and it will probably take a bit more time. But maybe he's halfway there. And I see God working in his life, bit by bit. The third person is a little bit more challenging because there are family constraints and there are challenges. So God sometimes answers our prayers in time. But sometimes we have to learn to wait upon him. We need to trust, we need to have faith to believe that God will answer. And I know that many of us, you know, there are loved ones who still don't know the Lord. Continue to pray. Let's not allow unbelief to affect our prayer life. Let's continue to pray and believe. Let's apply our faith in overcoming unbelief. You know, that's something that I'm learning to do. These are days of trouble. These are difficult days. And can we learn to pray? I'm going to encourage you to come for the YEG retreat. There is never a better time for us to come and learn the word of God that we may be able to have faith. Days of trouble in the world, days of trouble in our own lives. And if you want to have that kind of faith to meet up to these challenges, these days of trouble, we must look to the word of God. We must have faith. You know, it's never easy to be able to pray and ask God to answer, and we have to learn to wait. We must have that faith. You know, over the last 1-2 years or more, we've been praying for Bethany Fall. And initially, it was to go elsewhere, to build another place, but we couldn't find a land. Well, we continued to pray. And then along the way, there was an idea that maybe we can extend Bethany Tree into Bethany Fall. And as we prayed, as we considered, as the session met together with Pastor, you know, we came to a conclusion. Maybe God is leading us. Early this year, we presented everything for the congregation to consider, and we decided that we will go ahead with Bethany Fall. And we continue to pray. And now we are able to get the approval, the permits, and now we embark. The next couple of months, we'll see a lot of works being done already. All the hoarding is up. And we have to gear ourselves to adjust. But this has been a venture of faith. Just imagine if we have not believed, if we have allowed unbelief to get the better of us as leaders, to get the better of us as congregation, and we didn't think of it as something that God is leading us to, then we will not be where we are today. We will not be looking ahead. And we will not be able to get all that we need to do to build Bethany Fall. It takes faith for us. And I thank God for our pastor, for the kind of faith that he has. There are times when he suggests or proposes something, and you know, it takes us, even a session, to think about it for a moment and to consider. But yet at the same time, when we see that if we see with eyes of faith to see God leading us, not unbelief, God will open up so much more, greater things that we know not of, that we can explore and venture in with faith. And I pray that we will learn. We will learn in our own lives. We will learn as a church not to allow unbelief to get the better of us. Don't allow unbelief to spoil the moment, this Christmas for you. Let's learn to respond with faith and belief. Let's venture forward with faith in our hearts. Let's have faith in God. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us, even as we learn of the dangers and the problems of unbelief, how unbelief can get the better of us. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us that no matter what we are going through, that we can learn to venture forward in faith, whether it is in our own lives, whether it is as a church, that we will look to this Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ with a great sense of joy, knowing that we can do so in faith. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us. Even as we give an offering, help us, Lord, to give in faith. We ask for your special blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's collect our offering. Thank you. Let's remain standing as we go to God in prayer. And now may the love of God truly enfold us to help us to look to him as one who watches over us on his throne, and that he would ever extend that love through providing and in keeping us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ truly prove sufficient for all of our needs, that we will look to his word that would give us the kind of faith to truly believe and to overcome unbelief in our times of trouble. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit truly give to us a heart that is able to respond, to be moved by his word that would truly give us the kind of faith to respond, to believe both now and forever till Christ comes for us, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.